Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we are on Sunday evening. This is Scott Henser on Scott Henser Network. I wanted to go into the unknown, the paranormal. And what I mean by that, to go into it, I want to explain that those who are investigators, those who are seeking to make contact, to necromancy, to communicate with the dead, thinking that these things are the spirits of the dead, when in reality, they are actually demons. There is a separation between the living and the dead called the gulf fix. That means that the moment you die, in the twinkling of your eye, that you are transported, you are moved, you are spiritually brought from one point to another in the spirit, because our bodies die, that you will be before the Most High God. And if you are not in Christ, you are then placed into hell. Hell is reality. Hell is real. So these things that those who do the paranormal investigation, the contact that you're making with is actually spirits or evil spirits, unclean spirits. This is a form of divination. Now, God is a God of order, we see in Matthew 24:24. That means when he says something, it is truth. When he commands us to do something, he expects it in a particular order, not to be brought in by other doctrines. Now, those things that have infiltrated into the church has not tested the spirit. So there are supernatural, there are paranormal, there are things that happen that are not normally explained by man. But those who are in the deliverance ministry, those who are spirit-filled Christians, now, let me define spirit-filled Christians. Again, what spirit are you filled with? Since God is a God of order, then his word is truth, and the fact that it should be our baseline, our cornerstone, that anything that we come in contact with, anything that we see or are told or we investigate into, such as research, that if it does not line up with the Word of God, then it did not come from God, because you cannot have gray areas. You cannot have two masters. You cannot drink the cup of demons and the cup of Christ. False doctrines, as Jesus warned us, will creep into the church. And so we have a very large hodgepodge of confusion that has come upon the church. And so whenever I visit a church, I'm very careful into examining exactly what's coming out of the mouth of the pastor. Why? Because if he is of his father, the devil, if he is not in truth, then what he says speaks into the spirit realm and projects onto the people. So he can be full of demons. He can be speaking and actually cursing the congregation. Now, how can that be? Well, if we, again, as Christians, if Jesus said, "You will know my voice." And so if we do not test the Spirit, if we do not compare it and line it up with the Word of God, then we are allowing the evil one to influence us, which we should not be doing. We should be standing against evil. We should be comparing those things that are brought to us to the Word of God, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. And if you're not doing that, then that means you're in agreement. Now, in Ephesians 5, like 6 through 21, Paul is reminding us that we need to expose evil. If it is not of God, then we are not to partake in such things, because those who practice such things, we see in Galatians, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And God's people will perish for lack of knowledge. So in Ephesians 5, we look at and have to compare and understand whether it is truth or not, and that is evil surrounding it. Is evil the basis of it? Does it line up with the Word of God? And if not, then we're to speak against it and expose it. It's that simple. And again, by not doing that, we're in agreement with it. So it's very important to understand the church that you're in. Is it the full gospel? Meaning, have they taken certain parts of the Bible to form a particular religion, a particular theology that puts you in a position that you either accept what they're doing or you're a part of it? So if they, being a deliverance minister myself and in the time that I've done it, the incredible rejection that I have received from the church when in reality we've been commanded. When I say the church, we're supposed to be the brethren, the fellowship. We're supposed to be in relationship with our Most High God through Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And so if we're to move forward in the authority and the power given to us by Jesus Christ for what he did on the cross, then we're to understand that all doctrine is for reproof. It is for all of us, okay? We can't take certain pieces out and combine it together to make a doctrine and follow that. So if what you're doing does not bring in the full gospel, does not bring in Paul, does not bring in Matthew, Mark, Luke, does not bring in the Old Testament to show us that we've been brought through the law and the law's been fulfilled, and that we are new creatures in Christ, and that we are to move forward, that we're to, just like the 70 that Christ sent out and the Great Commission, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to set the captives free, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. And if your church isn't doing that, otherwise they reject deliverance, there is no spiritual warfare, and those things that are not tested in the Spirit, that are allowed into the church, such as the Kundalini, we see people who are manifesting and shaking and acting and out like animals and barking and so forth. This is not of God, because God, the Holy Spirit, is a gentleman, and he wishes for us to honor him. He wishes us to be a representation of him. We're made in his image, and that when we come to Christ, we have the mind of Christ. We've been sanctified. We're crucifying the flesh. We're moving forward in the authority of him and only him. It is Jesus plus nothing. So if other things come in that puts you in a position where you're narcissistic, you condemn other Christians instead of loving them. Paul says, if you have not love when you preach the gospel, you're nothing but a clanging cymbal. And how important it is to remember that if you condemn others, because you need to remember, you need to look at yourself, you need to take a step back, and so are you really in Christ? Are you condemning others? Because if you judge those, that judgment will come back on you if you're out of the line of Christ, if you're not in line. So I'm laying a foundation here for you to understand that anybody that operates outside of the Word of God, like speaking to the dead and necromancy, witchcraft and sorcery and pharmakia and astral projection, Buddhism, which is a metaphysical, Freemasonry, these things are not of God. They come straight from the pit of hell. They have been brought in to ban by the fallen angels, by the doctrine of demons, and this has infiltrated the church. Because there's even some that say that they are Christians, but yet secretly they are Freemasons. There are some who come and say they are Christians, but yet they still believe in other gods, or they practice a type of sorcery, or even pharmakia. They're taking drugs I want to lay the truth on this, that you need to understand that if you're on medications for an ailment or sickness, the reason that you're on them is because the church didn't set you free. You need to understand that all of us have been given the power and authority through the blood of the Lamb to set the captives free. That means those who are in bondage to particular mental illnesses, particular curses that bring in sickness, this is a curse, a bondage that is not being broken, is not being released, is not being rectified, because deliverance has been rejected in the church. Now, it doesn't mean, people, that if you're on medication that you are in sin, that you are wrong. You've been lied to. You haven't had hands laid on. You weren't anointed with oil. You weren't prayed for. And if you have, to a certain degree, and there has not been any breakthrough, then you need to take a step back and see what's operating in your life, in your bloodline, in your generations, your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, all the way through your bloodline, and see if there's something that may be amiss, something that has not been renounced, something that has allowed the demonic right to still inflict sickness on you, to inflict mental illness, if you have depression, if you have anxieties, if you're hearing voices. And so whenever I work with someone, when I say work with them, I'm meaning in deliverance, that I'm praying for them, I'm interceding. When I do a history analysis, when I investigate them and their bloodline, their father, their mother, always, there is something, whether it was an aunt, an uncle, a grandfather, a grandmother, and even the mother themselves, were into spiritualism, into divination, into some type of witchcraft that brought the curse upon the family. And so now that has come down through the bloodline, and that has not been broken or renounced. That is a stronghold. One of the strongest bondages that families are in is Freemasonry. You need to understand that your father, great-grandfather, all the way through that, because there was a very init time that when this was a very popular thing for men to do for camaraderie, thinking that the secret societies, the Masonic lodges, the Moose Lodge, the Elks Lodge, the Freemasons, all of these, you know, even women in the Morning Star, that when they do this, they take an oath. And I'm going to do a show tomorrow on oath-taking, because I need to break that down specifically, that when you speak, now remember that when we have the mind of Christ and that the Holy Spirit lives in us, that when we speak, we should be speaking those things that edify God. And so if you take an oath that is contrary to God, to Jesus, and what he did, then that brings a curse, because it's a form of rejecting what Christ did on the cross. And we know that those who reject Jesus Christ are accursed. That means that if you come into the secret societies, if you come into the Freemasons, and the indoctrination that takes place, and we see this also in the Mormon Church, because Joseph Smith was a Mormon, and a great deal of what goes on in the temples are based in Freemasonry. It's basically the same thing, a type of Masonic, a cabal situation. So if you have this in your bloodline and you're not getting healed and you're not being set free, then it may mean you need to renounce it. That somewhere in your bloodline, someone took an oath, and if you download off of my website at scotthenser.org and go under deliverance and exorcism, you'll find a link that is for a PDF download of renouncing Freemasonry oaths, the curse. And so when you go through these few pages, all the way from first degree all the way to 33rd degree, and then some, that what you're doing is you're renouncing, and that you're actually turning to the Baphomet, which is a symbolism of Satan as a male-female. And you've seen this. They're trying to bring this statue into, what was it, Oklahoma, where... Tennessee, that Satan's sitting in a chair. He's got his right hand raised. He's got a goat head. There's children dancing around in this particular statue they're trying to bring into the public. And what it is it's paying homage to the devil in a male-female form, Baphomet, okay? This is the basic god of Freemasonry. So what has happened in your bloodline is you've renounced Jesus Christ to continue through the bloodline. So your prayers, those things that God had for you, have been hindered, have been quenched, have been dissolved, have been basically put on hold. Not forever, because what Christ did on the cross, he paid for past, present, and future sins. But what we're called to do is to renounce, to stand in the authority of God, because the days are evil. We know that wickedness is on the earth. We know that, as I continue here with the paranormal investigation information, that there is a spirit realm out there, and they wish to destroy us, being man made in the image of God. And no good was found in Lucifer, Satan, and his fall brought one-third of the angels. So now we have potentially millions of fallen angels. 200 of them, as I've talked about before in the book of Enoch, have come into the daughters of men. We saw this in Genesis 6. They're leaving their own abode, their own domain, then came into the daughters of man, meaning women, earthly women, impregnating them, creating monsters and giants and creatures, because then they themselves lusted after their own kind, meaning if it was a male, then it was a male, if it was female, it was female, but they corrupted also every beast on the earth. And so when the flood came, and even prior to that, that there was a destruction of these, which since they were, remember, they're not a, quote, creation. They're a violation. They're a corruption of what God made. That's what Satan does. See, he takes what God has done and he corrupts it. This is why we have false doctrines that sound like they're good, but they're not. If it isn't the complete inherent word of God, then it is a lie. Because if you add lies to truth, it is not the whole truth. You need to remember that. That's why we're called to test the spirit. Does it line up with the word of God? And so these fallen ones, these creations that were an abomination before the Lord, the giants, these monsters, these creatures, when they died, were not given a spirit of God, their spirit was evil. And so that is the evil that we have today. So when you deal with the paranormal and you call yourself a paranormal investigator, you need to understand how dangerous this all is. Just as I have on here on Blog Talk for the paranormal investigation, the description that we see the sons of Shiva that when they tried to do an exorcism, tried to remove demons without being in Christ, okay? They were acting like they had authority of Christ, but they had not received Christ. So they were only in name and not in spirit. See, there's a huge difference there. And so when they tried to do this, the demon manifested and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And then there was a transfer of spirit from the individual that they were exorcising. And the spirit, the unclean spirit, jumped into them and tormented them, abused them, caused them to rip off their clothes and run naked. Now we see and that this is a situation. Whenever you have an individual that is mentally disturbed, mentally ill, and I've seen this for myself, that a lot of times their acts of what they're doing, they'll do it naked. They'll take off their clothes. We see this as an issue with those in the asylums. There's even been those who were once in our United States government were described in their last days because of the Freemasons that they did and what they did with murder and corruption and so forth, that they themselves in their last days on earth had to be institutionalized, and this also was a part of the perversion that was placed in the tomb, that they did such terrible acts that they had to be brought out of society. Now, where else did we see this? We also saw this in the demoniac in Matthew 8. Now, in Matthew 8, it describes the two who were possessed. And so when Jesus came out, they were crying, they were cutting themselves, they were so out of control with super human strength that they tried to bind them. The chains were broken. So this was the power of Satan who was indwelling with these individuals. But the moment that Jesus came before them, the spirits literally threw themselves down and said, "Why have you come here, Jesus? Have you come to torment us before our time?" So even though how terrible and how monstrous they were, they still before the Son of God had to drop down, because God is the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible. And his Son, being part of the Trinity, in his death on the cross, which he willfully came to sacrifice, gave us that same power and that same authority. But if you're not in Christ, if you're not performing and doing a doctrine of demons, you're doing necromancy, you're conjuring, you're doing such things that God sees as divination, which is an abomination before him, the demons will have a legal right to you. So laying this out, I'm trying to get you to understand that, like even in 1 Samuel 28, Saul and the medium of Endor, when she conjured, she literally brought up a demonic that pretty much took her over and caused her in great fear. Now, notice fear. Fear is based in all of everything I've just described, because as the sons of Sheba, that they themselves ran in fear. So we see that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So therefore, if you have fear, which is the opposite of the understanding of God, and that when you have faith, knowing who you are in Christ, you do not have fear. So whenever you see fear, you know it is of the devil. And so when you watch these programs, like one of them right now is entertaining a show that is their 10-year mark, that whenever they come into a paranormal situation, a supernatural event, even though they're looking for it, they still show fear. Now, these individuals have been allowed, I want you to understand this very clearly, okay, the devil will use anybody he can, including pastors, including people within the church, to infiltrate, to project these things onto others. So those, even though they're doing a supernatural event that is not of the Holy Spirit, they're allowed to do it for a time without being demonized. Now, it doesn't mean that in their private life that they don't have issues and problems. I will guarantee they do, but they write them off just as another supernatural event. And so what's going to happen is everybody that's involved in these shows, people who watch it, that indulge in it, that accept it, that do not test the spirit, do not understand what is really going on here, that as we get closer in the days, that when God pours out his spirit, meaning in the last days, that, and we're here, by the way, you know, we've got the blood moon coming up again here, we've got Ebola, we've got ISIS, we've got beheading right here in the United States, we've got these things south of the border in Mexico where they're staging, you know, we've got Obama that is literally allowing these things to come upon us. He's not doing his job. And so we're in a situation that when that last step takes place, that those who are partaking in such things, such as the paranormal investigation, those who are performing necromancy, those who are doing witchcraft and sorcery, that when it finally comes to a point, and Satan, as peace will be brought off of the earth, okay, even though it's disastrous now, it's nothing like we're going to see. We see this in Matthew 24:21, Great Tribulation. There'll be things coming upon the earth that have never been seen before. Okay? That is a promise. That is prophecy. That is in God's word. And we're here because once Ebola takes a hold, and you know, with this gestation period or whatever you want to call the time that when a virus is in a human and it has to take hold and then mutate and take over, that infectious time has spread already to hundreds, if not thousands, of people, and then you have a exponential number, an increase, in electronics we call it decibel. Okay, so if every 3 decibels, it doubles. So if you have 3, then you've doubled. If you go 6, what was doubled is then doubled. Okay, like a 4-square law, that it just simply broadcast out. Much and like a broadcaster, when you're doing seeding, you're seeding your yard, you're seeding like those that take care of the ballparks. They have a broadcaster, and what it does is it literally takes millions of seeds and throws it as far as it can to give an even distribution upon the area. Well, that's exactly what's going to take place. And so when you're dealing with the devil, that when you partake in paranormal activities, when you do these things, and we see in Exodus that even those who Exodus 22 that partaked in sorcery were to be put to death. None of them were to be allowed to live because the infection of them then caused an infection onto other people, especially their bloodlines. And since Jesus Christ had not been born yet and had not finished it on the cross, there was no relief from them for those who practice such things. That's why the law was put in place, to protect you, to keep you away. And those today who do such things, even though Christ has done this on the cross, put themselves back underneath the law. And that's why those who think that you cannot be cursed, you've got a demon in your head that is blocking you to keep you from understanding what is really going on here, people. I get so frustrated with these churches. I walk into a church, I talk to people, I try and, you know, be doing what I do and the fact of deliverance and exorcisms and working with those who are heavily infected and their lives are destroyed, and I see this every day, and then I go to a church and no one wants to hear it. They even scoff and laugh at me. But you know what? If I were to sit each individual down and dissect their life, I bet you they've got stuff going on in their life that is really causing them to lose faith. And those who are not in Christ, those who've rejected the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, those who have not been through deliverance, are to have a very strong rude awakening coming to them. Guaranteed, as sure as the sun is going to rise tomorrow, because we see God himself said that his people perish from lack of knowledge. Now, as I mentioned in the last broadcast, that those say, well, you shouldn't be talking about demons. Really? Really? Well, excuse me, what did Paul in all his teachings do? How about the day that the supper for the apostles when Jesus Christ, when Satan literally entered into Judas Iscariot. I mean, this is an amazing situation where he was an individual that was with Jesus Christ, walked with Jesus Christ, saw the miracles of Jesus Christ, but yet Satan still entered him. We see that even Peter himself had an influence from Satan, because Jesus rebuked the disciples, saying, you do not know what spirit you are of, because they wanted fire to come down on the people. So it is possible and does happen that Christians can be infected with demons. Notice I said infected. That means that you are not demon-possessed, but you have a infection of demonic, meaning that a spirit has got into your head. You become religious, you become judgmental, you may have sexual desires that have taken you to pornography, you have done things that are to the contrary of what God has and wants you to do. So you can imagine that those who are not in Christ, that when Satan finally gets around and uses you up, because right now he's just using those people who are doing clairvoyance, those who are practicing witchcraft, those who are necromancing, speaking to the dead, those who are doing witchcraft prayers, and even potions and lotions just like hoodoo. As I mentioned, there was a mixture of voodoo that came in with Christianity called hoodoo, where they actually saw Moses as a conjurer, or that's what they teach. Well, these are false doctrines. And so those who are not in Christ, that they do not have the protection of the Holy Spirit, especially in the last days, in the book of Revelation, that a seal has not been placed on their forehead, that many will seek death. It'll be so bad. So if you're tormented now, after you've gone to a haunted house, after you've gone to a seance, after you went to a tarot card reader to get a reading, to have someone give you information that they say comes from the dead, when actually it's actually coming from demons. Now, demons being in the spirit realm, there is no distance, and those who have a history of familiar spirits, meaning that you may think you're clairvoyant, you may think you're psychic, you may think that you have these abilities, what's really going on there is it's a familiar spirit that knows and communicates with other people's demons, just like a massive network, like an IP address on the World Wide Web. It's that simple. And since there is no distance in the spirit realm, the information that they can gather in a very short period of time, instantaneous, that during a seance or during a reading, that the information they gave you may have truth, and it may be information that's brought from the bloodline, and so you're convinced that it's actually your dead grandmother, your dead father, even a dead child. Well, how terrible that is, because you're being lied to. This is your family member that you should remember as love, as being part of your bloodline. If it's your father, honor your father. If it's your mother, honor your mother. And to move forward outside of the realm of God and the divination practice of necromancy, then what you're doing is you're committing an abomination before the Lord, which gives the demons a legal right to you. So that means there'll be a point in time that it's all going to come down like a house of cards on you, and may already have, because a lot of the people I work with, and again, those who I do deliverances, and those who don't know what a deliverance is, if you're not a Christian, it's basically an exorcism. And so not only do I have to exorcise them, deliver them, I have to come to their home, pray for their kids, work on renouncing and breaking these things that have brought a curse upon them. And that includes their relationships, their marriage, their relationships with their kids, their work situation, losing their job. Your bank finances are a mess. You're horribly in debt. That is a curse of poverty, okay? And these things come from those who practice, such as Freemasonry. When you look at the Jewish mystics, that is the Cabal. And so whenever this is in a bloodline and it has not been renounced, as we move to today, with those things coming upon us, it literally is going to cause man's heart to fail them. There's going to be a great falling away from the church. There's going to be those who are trying to seek truth and answers from the wrong place. So there'll be a mass destruction of people. Those who survive will turn to anything to deliver them. Unfortunately, because the church is not in place, the church is infected with false doctrine, that those who turn to them are not going to get the truth. They're not going to be delivered. Now, I hate talking about this stuff. This isn't what I want to do. I know that God, since he's going to pour out his spirit, that those young men will prophesy and people will dream and there will be great miracles, and just like in the book of Exodus, there will be a way out for those who are in Christ. Now remember, Satan may kill you, but he's not killing your spirit. Your spirit is going to live forever. I would rather perish in Christ and be at in God's kingdom than to practice such things that will lead me to hell and still die at the hands of Satan. It makes no sense. But the lies and the deception that has been created over the periods of centuries, over thousands of years, and even in the past, because we, you know, if you look at the United States and just go back 30 years, 20 years, 50 years, Christianity was a strong basis of who we were in this country. Okay? Now, we're now mixing it with Chrislam, meaning that Islamics and Christianity are being brought together, which is completely a doctrine of demons. We see, as I mentioned for hoodoo, that voodoo was mixed with Christianity. And we also see that Mormonism, which is based in Freemasonry, has a stronghold, which has been around for a couple hundred now, well, at least since the Civil War, or right after. And so with this confusion that when those who turn, that if the church isn't there to bring them the good news, to do the commission of Jesus Christ, the great commission of Jesus Christ, that they'll turn to alternative ways. They'll turn to those idols, the demonic doctrines. They'll turn to anything that brings for the moment, because those who are mentally ill, and this is part of having personality disorders, that one of the behaviors that causes an individual to do such things, that we see that if we're somewhat normal, because what is normal today, these behaviors are destructive, because for a time they seek relief. It is a self-preservation act to no longer feel pain. That's where suicide comes from. We don't want to feel the torment. We have bad dreams. We've got visitations of demons coming to us. The incubus, the succubus, those things that torment our minds, and not just physical or both. Because some of the cases I've dealt with here in the past couple of weeks have been incredible, and as I mentioned, it's accelerating. The amount of demonization that's taking place, and amongst those Christians, because remember, I don't work with non-Christians very seldom, and or if the Holy Spirit tells me that this is an opportunity to bring them into the kingdom, absolutely. But 99.9% of the people I work with are Christians, or at least professing. So when a situation comes into a individual that is not in their right mind, they have, and when I say this, because we saw the demoniac, and I'll bring that up again, that when Jesus cast out the legion of demons, he was found sitting clothed. Remember I said that how people in their mental illness can take their clothes off. I've seen this myself. And that he was in his right mind. So without the demonic influences, without the demonic infection within the brain, because the battle is in the mind, you know, our brains are where our mind is, our cognitive thinking, our soul, our emotions, our personalities, that when that's under attack, then our whole body is out of whack. Our mind, those things that are practiced in Hinduism, you know, like the metaphysical, to have joy in your spirit, I mean real joy. Whenever I cast demons out that bring fear, that bring anxieties, anxiousness, because there's no peace in you, when those demons are removed, for the first time, people experience true joy. Not happiness, joy, knowing who they are. I remember the first time I really experienced joy. It was amazing. The contrast between the way I felt prior with depression and anxieties from the things that I had been through to where God had brought me in relationship with Him, knowing who I am in Christ and that I'm loved by the Most High God. I'm in that vertical relationship that can only be with God. Okay? So if you didn't know your earthly father, if you were abused, if there was a situation that broke your heart when you were a child, then over the years, as you operated in brokenness, that your personality altered, was morphed, was changed, because God never intended us to be under such things, that then that became who you are. So you think that nothing will ever get better. You only know anxieties. You only know disappointments. You only know pain. You only know demonic visitations or supernatural things that are unexplained. And a lot of them, you don't talk to people, especially those in the church. If you're in the church and you're being terrorized, that you won't even speak to another Christian because you're worried what they'll think of you, when in reality, they should call the elders together to anoint you and pray for you and to bring you into a deliverance, to cast out those things that are hurting you. God absolutely weeps and cries over the destruction of his people. He is just appalled for the fact that it's an abomination not to move forward in his word. When he commands us to do something, we're rebellious. We're not obeying the word of God. So therefore, we're not in relationship with God. And if you're not in relationship, if you're rebellious, if you're in sin, then he will not hear your prayers. That's why many Christians are in the shape that they're in. They haven't been brought to the understanding that there needs to be the curse broke off of them. There needs to be a renunciation of those things that they have taken, like an oath, like I'm going to be talking about in the next show. And so they're in a situation where there is no peace, and they've never come to the understanding of true joy. But when the demons are removed, when the curses are broken, then the blocking demons that have been blocking that relationship with God, then the heavens can open up and pour upon you the true love and joy that he has for you. This is what he wants. This is what he wishes. This is where we were supposed to be. And so if the church is not teaching you this, if the church is not does not have a deliverance ministry, then you need to really analyze what is going on here. Why those sitting in the pews underneath the nose of the pastor, or the one who calls himself a pastor. What is a pastor? They're supposed to be like a sheep herder, protecting, even loving those sheep, because you do not want harm to come to them, because they bring clothing from their wool. There's a point in time that they even bring food. But those things that are in exchange in the relationship are two-way. And if you're not having a two-way relationship, meaning that you're in a covenant, you're in the grace of God, then you're out of the grace of God. And so that means that the sheep herder that's standing there with his staff is asleep at the wheel, and there are wolves out there that are taking down the weakest, the smallest, the youngest, which should be the ones, the very ones that we're protecting, the ones that we're praying over, the ones that we're to lift up and bring under us. Just as Psalm 91, as God said, he will take us under his wing. So, if you're not in Christ, and you do not have the seal of God on your forehead, and that you've practiced such things as we see in Galatians 5, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ are accursed. That means that the only one who can come to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And so by performing necromancy and witchcraft and pharmakeia and Buddhism and all these other doctrines that are a doctrine of demons, that then you have accursed yourself and your bloodline. Now, I've even talked, and I have it in my book, Second Heaven Invasion, the Frank Box. The Frank Box is an electronic device that was developed by a ham radio operator. There was some investigation as to past electronic means, meaning electrical devices like radio receivers that are used to ask questions of the unclean spirits, those thinking that they're speaking to the dead, and allowing them in time, because it will work, it does work. We see this in the Lizzie Borden house. We see that there's even things on YouTube where they've taken scanners from Radio Shack and they rewire them so they don't just lock onto one channel. They constantly span the whole spectrum of the electromagnetic spectrum of radio wave. And by asking, even electromagnetic sensors will do this, because the demonic, having a legal right because of your necromancy, has come into the physical and can take through electronic means and converse them. It's called modulation, taking one form of energy, converting to another as radio waves to audio or from audio to radio waves. And so they then can come on and answer your questions. And we see on YouTube that this has been happening. I've been warning this for the past 8 years to stay away from such thing, because it's still necromancy. You're still asking the spirits, which is divination, the exact opposite of the Holy Spirit, for information that you were not supposed to have. So if you go into a haunted area, which means the demons have a, quote, legal right to it, that there was either a murder, there was drugs done there, rape, who knows, even the asylums, the crimes against those patients that were within there, because there was a point that it was horrific. The turn of the century, we see in Buffalo that there was this massive sanctuary that was an asylum for those after the Civil War, that there was a Great Depression that fell upon the people, and they had such massive mental illness that they had to build a facility that was absolutely huge in order to accommodate the amount of mental illness. But what took place in these asylums were abuse, were experimentation, were those things that were not of God, because many of the people that were in there were Satanists, were occultists, were those who moved in pretending to be someone that was going to minister as the oath of taking for being a doctor, which, by the way, in itself is an oxymoron. And so there were horrific things done upon them. And so those people who perished within there's information where some rooms, some areas were, over time, as many as 1,000 people died. So yes, there was a demonic legal right because of the abuse, the abomination against people, for those who were innocent, that were sacrificed through those who came into these things. Now, I want to clarify that there's been a great cleaning up over the years. And so I'm not saying this across the board for those asylums now, but I'm sure that somewhere you'll find that some things are not done as God would want to attend. For one, the individual that's in there in the first place, because you remember the Civil War was a time where brother was killing brother. There was great blood that was spilt on our land here in the United States. And so that killing, that murder that took place, because there was also war crimes, meaning that you were not in the understanding that it was a battle, but that if you had the ability to capture somebody, then you still committed horrific acts against them, okay? The white flag was, doesn't matter whether it was drawn or not, you still did things that caused destruction, caused an infliction of abuse and death onto an individual. And so our United States, through the Civil War, is cursed, okay? And this is carried on through now into abortion. 60 million or so babies have been murdered on this land. That's blood on our land. We saw this with Cain and Abel, okay? So this brings a curse. So now those in the asylums, their spirit is no longer there, but replaced with a familiar unclean spirit. And if you go into these asylums in a paranormal investigation, you are dealing with a very horrific demon, that its legal right for being there is because of the abuse and death of humans. Okay? So you partaking in such things are going to be infected by the demon. you're going to bring the demon home to your family. And let's say that you're a guy, a man, and you've done such things. And you come home to your wife, and as husband and wives do, they engage in lovemaking. Then in that point in time, there's a transfer of spirit to your wife. Now your wife is behaving bizarre and crazy. She's having visitations. She's having nightmares. You're having nightmares. Now you're in disarray. There's conflict between both of you. And you're arguing over time, and things are not going right. No matter what you do, it goes wrong. You have literally brought a curse upon yourself, just like those who enter into Freemasonry, into the Masonic lodges, and they take oaths. You have sworn an allegiance, an alliance to Baphomet, to Satan, to the Cabal doctrine. And those who do paranormal investigations are technically doing the same thing. So I'm trying to appeal to you understand that if you're not in Christ, then to go into these areas, you're going on unholy ground. And I've seen an individual, and it's in my book, under the paranormal of Second Heaven Invasion, the chapter paranormal, that the individual, a spirit entered into them when we stepped onto an Indian burial ground. We didn't know exactly what was going on here. It was supposed to be a garden out there in Phoenix, and there was a area set aside that was an Indian ruin, an Indian village kept. But it had, because of those things done back then, there was demonic entities that were still on the property, on the land. That was an abomination that... Then when we stepped onto it, now I myself didn't have an open door, but the individual that I was with did, and they went down. And how terrible that was! They became suicidal. They basically were going crazy. But the good news is they were completely healed and delivered. So those who are not Christians, the demons may enter into you, and you don't, you know, maybe you feel something, or you just write it off because the hair in the back of your neck, as we see in Job, where a spirit passed before them and the hair stood up, that which was Satan, that when this happens, you don't feel anything immediately. Well, what's happening is that Satan is simply waiting for the right time. He's making sure that you go to a point of no return, that in your own mind, because of your deception that's been placed into you, that you've been turned over to a debased mind, you've turned over to a retrobate mind, you are no longer able to make a conscious decision because of the spirits that have your brain, that have your mind, that you're not able to understand that what you've done is wrong. And at that certain point in time, when Satan is done with you, he will bring you down. I would guarantee you that those who do these shows are living in torment, and for a time things may be at peace and fine, but that peace will be removed from them. The demons will finally move in like a Trojan horse, and they will take down the walls that once protected you and your family. So if you are listening to this broadcast, you have done such things. The good news is that Jesus Christ, for what he did on the cross, provides a way out, provides the ability for you to renounce, to repent, to come clean, to be delivered, to have the curses broke off of you, to be clothed in white again and brought before the Most High God in purity. Because right now, if you are in such things, that good and evil cannot dwell in the same place. Now, that's an argument that some people say that Christians can't have demons. Well, your spirit man is where demons cannot indwell. But within your body, within your mind, within your soul, which is your personality, this is where this takes place. Because remember, we are fallen man. We are accursed from the fall of the garden. When Christ did what he did on the cross, he fulfilled the law. He then took the keys of death and hell away from Satan, but commanded us to move forward. Okay? But since you didn't know this, since you don't spiritually warfare, since you don't pray in tongues, since you do not go to a church that does not have deliverance, then you are not taught such things. And so here we are today at a point in time where that curse has come full term, where Ebola is going to exponentially increase, and what a terrible pestilence, what a terrible disease, what a terrible plague, what a terrible curse it is going to be on the people, because it is a nasty infection. It is a nasty thing to have done to an individual with the amount of sickness, those symptoms that are generated in and itself does a broadcasting of the virus, you know, projectile vomiting, by getting sick to these points, the spreading of fluids from the human body. What a perfect weapon. And as I said before, because of its ability to mutate, it is obviously a weapons-grade virus that has been unleashed onto the United States. Now, we've got the blood moon coming up for a second. We're entering to a time where ISIS is south of us here in camps working with the drug cartel. This is no time to not be in Christ. This is no time to be doing witchcraft. This is no time to not be delivered. I appeal to you. I call to you. Would you please find a ministry that will deliver you? Would you please find a ministry, a church, that the pastor speaks all of those doctrines that God wishes to come forth, the epistles, the words, all of Mark, all of Luke, all of Ephesians, all of Revelation, all of Daniel, and what they mean. Because you need to hear the truth. You need to understand that this is a great war. That's why Paul wrote Ephesians. We're to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Well, if we're not to be intimidated by demons, as some say, then why did Paul write such things after Jesus Christ? Why did he say to in Acts that those that a young man who had his father's wife, how disgusting and terrible it was, to allow him to be turned over to the tormentor for a time, meaning Satan, the demons, that in hopes that his soul will be saved, his spirit will be saved, and that's through repentance. We see that those that the apostles came to Paul, or came to Jesus Christ, surprised, said, why could we not cast out these demons? And Jesus said, these kinds come out with fasting and prayer. Well, what's in fasting? What's in prayer? Going before the Lord, confessing your sins, and repenting. And the fasting is a way of cleansing, of purifying, and to come before the Lord in recognition that you humble yourself. Okay? That means then you break the legal demonic right that the demons have upon you. So when you try and cast out demons, when I do this in a deliverance ministry, in the exorcism, for those who have the curse of Freemasonry in their family, sometimes I only get so far and I run into a wall and then I have them renounce Freemasonry. And now the Holy Spirit flows because those things have now been renounced, those things have been broken. But if you are not in Christ, if you do not have the seal of God on your forehead, and those who go looking for trouble by going into haunted houses and old asylums that are left vacant, trying to conjure and communicate through necromancy to the dead, it is not going to end well for you. So please turn away from such things. Find a deliverance ministry. Send me an email at scott@scotthensler.org. I would love to pray for you. My book, Second Heaven Invasion, goes into great detail about these situations, but not only describes it, but gives you the basic prayers for curse breaking, for spiritual warfare and deliverance, including for children and for returning vets dealing with post-traumatic stress. Well, I'm out of time. God bless you. I hope this works for you on my teachings. Stay away from such things and only turn to Christ. God bless.